If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
76% of South Africans use one or other loyalty program. Is it an airline? Is it like Pimelo, for example, the Sasol cashback, which I find incredible? Or e-bucks for you, Betty? Checkers? Oh, gosh. For you, Tando, what's your favorite? Loyalty program. Great. It's lovely to know that the producer doesn't listen to the show herself. She's prepping for the next show. I, at the moment, have discovered a lot more about my Virgin Rewards. And I've been, you know, hotting it up in the gym. And so I'm quite enjoying a nice smoothie from time to time. But my next guest, Amanda Kromhout, who is the CEO of Truth, is going to tell us a great deal more about this. Truth, in association with Brandmap, have just published the 2023-24 Loyalty White Paper. And we are going to find out which the most used loyalty, which loyalty programs are the most used in South Africa. Amanda, thank you so much for joining us on Kaya Biz. How are you today?
Yeah, great. Thanks. Thank you for having me on. Great to talk about loyalty anytime.
Right. Okay. So tell us a little bit. How often have you done this study?
So we've been publishing it now for 8 years. This mm-hmm. is our 8th edition in partnership with Brandmap. So Brandmap is the research study mm-hmm. across South Africans, and it represents the whole of South Africa. It's a tremendous study of 34,000 South Africans and gives a really good view of not only loyalty programs, but obviously Truth looks at the loyalty program data. So it's been really great to be able to track the change over 8 years. So you said 76% of South Africans use loyalty programs. That has increased over the since we started, since 8 years ago. So it's on the up.
I also like it's not just the temporal the timeline in terms of what you're tracking, but it's a great cross section. You look at economically active and maybe more affluent South Africans, as well as people who you call a mass market or lower income household of under 10,000 rand.
Yeah.
Why the specific marker of 10,000 rand? Is that an indication of potentially availability of disposable income?
What a great question. So the Brandmap study really looks at their terminology is more affluent, but there is a 10,000 household income. So it's not 10,000 rand per person, it's 10,000 in the household. And it is their study is an online survey, so that's actually how the data comes across. They're the results of the data. And then we partner with Moya app, which is a data-free platform that has a more skewed customer base towards mass market, less affluent customers. And their income base is 10,000, not completely 10,000 household or less, but that's how the data, we make sure the data correlates so we can give a full picture. So the Moya app data gives us this extra depth of understanding, is the mass market consumer using loyalty programs more or less differently than a more affluent customer of 10,000 household? But then obviously in the 10,000 household and above, we split the income brackets up to, for example, 80,000 and above, you know, so we can slice and dice the data depending on what we're trying to see in the data. Sure. But the 76%, which is how you started this conversation, interestingly, doesn't change. It doesn't change by any of those income brackets whatsoever.
Ah.
So, slightly a little change with the 80,000 household income and or more, because yes, more available income, more spend, more loyalty benefits. But mass market versus the economically active, which is the Brandmap data, is still 76%. So it's a remarkable study actually showing that across the board, South Africans actively use loyalty programs. It's a really high number.
It's
The other number that stands out is the number of programs that South Africans use. So take the 76% of the total population using loyalty programs, but actually those customers are using nine on average. Obviously, it's not a round number. Mm. So 9.4 programs each.
Sure.
Or in the mass market, that drops down to a lower number of 4.8 programs each. But if you compare that to international standards, that's really high.
That's what I was going to ask. I don't know how that compares in terms of the prevalence usage. One of the things that your report indicates is that a third of your respondents are actually using loyalty programs more, which I guess has been a bit of a, in the past year, which has been a response to the cost of living. It's almost as if loyalty cards have become the new coupon clippings of the digital age.
Yeah, so if we look at the number of active usage programs, so 9.4 programs, we've looked at studies in Australia, in the UK, in Germany, and none of them are as high as that. So what we are seeing is the South African population use loyalty programs because obviously there's an element because they want to, like you mentioned, Virgin Active is a new program that you're enjoying, but there's also because they need to. And a lot of the leaders of the loyalty industry who we talk to all the time, whether it's from eBucks or Clicks Club Card, both those brands in particular, I've had the honor of interviewing, they both state that they know that their loyalty currency helps consumers at month end when they're short of cash. So they could use their currency to buy electricity, use their currency to buy nappies, use their currency for essentials rather than a luxury that sometimes people associate with loyalty programs. So it's not just about the lovely free coffee or the rewards from Virgin Active or the luxuries or airline tickets. It is actually to help get through to month end.
Out of interest, you know, and I know, just humor me for a second because it's not entirely related, but because you spoke about the UK, Australia, Germany and other markets that you study, one of the things that South Africans often lament when it comes to any kind of discounting, for example, end of season sales, something that has become more prevalent in South Africa is Black Friday, which of course makes no cultural sense, but makes commercial sense, I guess, is that the sales that come into South Africa or the discounts or the rewards that come into South Africa never seem to quite match the extent to which one is able to receive in the United States or in Europe. Would you say that the rewards that South Africans are getting, particularly on the need side, not just on the luxury side, are competitive as compared to their global peers?
I think the South African loyalty industry is most definitely competitive with its global peers, and I've had other experts around the world talking about this, where the industry is mature, the industry is serving the marketplace, it's serving South Africans. And that number of 76%, I often say to marketeers in any of the industries, what marketing campaign gets a 76% active usage rate? You know, it really is, the loyalty programs really are here to stay. And they really are making a difference. They're making a difference not only for the consumers using it, but for the brands who are executing it well, because they're able to get a closer, it sounds a bit a bit strange to say, get a closer relationship with their consumer. But if you're comfortable with the brand that's serving you and they give you the best offers and you've given them permission by joining the program for them to see the data, see what you're using. So take a supermarket chain. They can see what you buy. They see what you want. And then they offer you that with more of a discount. You're obviously going to feel better about it. You're going to feel that they know you, you trust them, and hence your market share shift. You're going to spend more with them versus the competitors. So it is a battle of, you know, competitive marketplace for the brands themselves. But for consumers aren't stupid, so they're not going to just give away their data. They're not. It has to be a reciprocal relationship.
So let's get into some of the brands. The picture shifts quite significantly between what's called economically active and mass market. But let's focus on the economically active and a very stable, it looks like, top 10. I can't believe I forgot Clicks Club Card. Who come in hair at number two. Behind Checkers Extra Savings.
It's by a hair. It's very much by a hair. Like it's a fraction of a percentile, but Checkers definitely has come out at the top for the first time. But remember, it's quite a young program. Whilst it might not seem it now, but it is less than 5 years old. And Clicks or Pick and Pay have held that number one spot since we started this study. So it's the first time we've seen neither Clicks nor Pick and Pay at number one, but I don't want to mislead your audience. Clicks really are like a fraction by a hair behind Checkers. So Checkers, Extra Savings, then Clicks, then Pick and Pay, then Dis-Chem, then Woolworths. But as you said, the top 10 brands in this study really is very stable. And the only non-retail brand is eBucks, F&B eBucks. So the rest are very much retail dominant. But it has been very similar to this over the past 5 years, at least. We haven't seen much change.
All right. So that's quite exciting. And then what's interesting to me that doesn't seem to do that well, I mean, coming in at, I'll count it just now, but quite low down in the top 25 is Vodacom, and then four places later is MTN. I'm not saying anything against the brands themselves, but just saying that telephony, data, a place where I think consumers could use possibly the most reprieve, are probably using the products to the extent that they would earn the most reprieve. It seems very low down that we're seeing Vodabucks and Yellowbucks. Why is that?
Yes. Yeah, so if you actually flip the page of the consumer and we look at the mass market consumer, we see both of those brands in the top 10. So it's a reflection of the structure of the loyalty program for prepaid or postpaid. So the more affluent customer maybe is getting less benefit from those programs than they would maybe from the other programs, whether it's financial services or retailing, or they place less emphasis on the use of data and airtime. But the mass market consumer places more emphasis. It's more of a currency that really matters to the consumer. So you'll see MTN at number 4 and then Vodacom at number 9. Most used within the mass market consumer, so it's a notable difference. But we've started to see it increase. So whilst you've observed that they're not in the top 10, we have started to see an increase. But if you think the Vodacom program, for example, in the mass market consumers, they openly state they have, I think it's over 20 million plus. It's significantly more than that members, but. The question is, you know, if I do my groceries at Checkers, if you think about human behavior, I'm doing that frequently every week, or at least a big shop once a week. Yes, I'm using my Vodacom phone every minute, but I don't necessarily think about my bill every minute. I probably think about it once a month. So I'm probably recognizing the rewards on a less frequent basis than doing my grocery shop. So the challenge for a Vodacom or an MTN is to keep top of mind of its consumer base, because if you're on a contract, which the economically active are more likely to be contract, you're not necessarily thinking about it as much as maybe a mass market consumer who is topping up on a regular basis.
Absolutely. Talk to me a little bit about, while we're in the mass market list, I think it's at number 21, Old Mutual Rewards. What is that?
So this is one of my actual favorite programs, if I'm allowed to have that. And the industry probably cursed me for saying that. Old Mutual Rewards is a program that is available to everyone, whether you have an Old Mutual product or not. And the reason I say it's one of my favorites, because I think they've been very creative in how they've created the program. So you may never have an Old Mutual product at the time of joining their program, but they empower their members of the program to know more about their financial stability, their financial fitness. They allow you to get your credit score. They allow you to do, or they call it moneyversity, about good saving, good money management. So it's all about empowering the consumer to do better with their money. And I just think it's a very, very good program in terms of the right intentions. But whilst you're doing all of that, they're obviously collecting data on you in terms of what you need. Do you need a loan? Do you need insurance? Do you need this whatever financial product? So when you do need it, Old Mutual's there for you and you already trust them. So
preemptive loyalty.
Yeah, but doing so in a trusting way. They're not trying to just create a database that they can then sell you stuff. They're offering you the ability to better empower yourself financially. And then ultimately one day we need a loan for our kids' school fees or whatever it is, back to school, uniforms, or something more significant, you're going to turn to the brand that's actually helped you understand your credit status or your ability to take out insurance and so on. So, and they have done so well. They're 5 years old, and they have just put a stake in the ground, saying we're not just about serving our own customers, but non-mutual customers can join us. And when they're ready, if they want one of our products, obviously we'll be there to serve them.
Fascinating stuff. Amanda Cromwell is the CEO of Truth, which is the consultancy partnered with the market research firm BrandMap that brings you the 2023-24 loyalty white paper. Do check it out, particularly as a business owner, if you want to see how you keep your customers sticky and with you over a long journey.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.